live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. And this, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for November the 26th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the peaceful, restorative keys we have at our fingertips. That is, the checks and balances never overlook their simplicity, but their incredible power, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, a quick recap of Saturday's show. Believe it or not, we were live all week last week. Wow, even Thanksgiving Eve, Thanksgiving Day, what do they call it, Black Friday, everybody else was shopping. We were live on your radio with news the networks refused to use. We were live on Thanksgiving Day, Thursday, Thanksgiving Eve, Wednesday, the day after Friday, the day after that, Saturday. I'm telling you right now, we've had some barn burner broadcasts with incredible up-to-date information that's really valuable, by the way. So the first hour on Saturday, Sam breaks down and highlights how unique and different our approach to the media really is. I'm telling you, that was a great hour. Because we talked about, you know what, we're into God, family, and country. We're under the protection of life, liberty, and property. We understand that it's God at the helm, not government. We talk about the unique positioning of America. We talk about our unique approach to the media. Look, we're not here to back friends or foes or pick sides in issues. We don't believe in the left-right paradigm. We don't believe in Republican-Democrat deception. We don't believe in any of those things. Our approach to the media is this. If it's right, if it promotes God, family, and country, if it promotes the protection of life, liberty, and property, then we're in. If it doesn't do those things, then we're out. We're against it. And it's always based on principle. And we use the Ten Commandments as our guide. We use the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights as our guide. And so there's a lot of tools we use at our fingertips. But the bottom line is, we want to tell the tale of freedom. And our agenda is clear. You know, we don't pretend that we don't have an agenda. We absolutely have an agenda. Okay, we don't pretend that we're you know, we're just above the fray. It's, we don't have a bias in the media. Okay, that's a lie. Everybody has one. If they make you try to believe you don't, that they don't have one, that's when you know they're dishonest about it. The issue is honesty. To us, it's about the who, what, when, where, why of a story. But it's more than that. And we look at the media as kind of our fourth branch of government in a way. This is an opportunity for us to not only judge the law or the individual, but to judge the law. So, for example, we might say, you know what, this person may be guilty. Don't know, we're not the jury. But we know that the crime doesn't fit the sentence, or the sentence doesn't fit the crime. And we'll get into that second hour. We have an incredible guest. We'll tell you about that second hour. We have an incredible interview that I did with a guest from prison. We'll talk about that, too. And we'll talk about how crimes don't seem to fit what these sentences are. In some cases, way too lenient. In some cases, way too belligerent. We'll talk about all that with our guest coming up second hour. So that was the first hour. Sam breaks down and highlights how unique and different our approach to the media really is, right? Second hour, we talked about the fact that the United States is a republic, not a democracy. And I know people think those words are similar, they're simple, but they're not. They're radically different. They wanted me to sign the Manhattan Declaration. Just so you know, that thing's been out since 2009. On one hand, it looks really, really good. I like a lot of what I read. But when they start talking about promoting and backing a democracy, then I can't sign it, folks. I don't believe in a democracy. We don't have a democracy in America. We're moving more towards the democracy or democratic type ideals, which I don't like, because we're circumventing and we're sidestepping and we're negating the checks and balances that make America great, folks. We can't do it. Donald Trump's latest, they say, and most dangerous assault on the rule of law, writes an article in Raw Story, or an author in Raw Story writes an article. I'm telling you, it's so far afield. They start out and tell you that we have a democracy. They say the rule of law distinguishes democracies from dictatorships. That isn't true. We don't have a democracy. Democracies and dictatorships are quite similar because one leads to the other. We have a republic, folks. Anyway, they say Donald violates all these principles. They say no person's above the law, not even the president. I agree. Then why is Barack Obama allowed to not even have his forged birth certificate investigated? Huh? They say a president cannot prosecute political opponents or critics. That isn't necessarily true. He's the executor of the Justice Department, right? There's proper ways with the checks and balances to investigate any branch of government that's out of line. Go look at your supreme law if you don't believe me, folks. They say a president must be respectful of the independence of the judiciary. That's true and not true. He's supposed to be respectful, I concur. But you know what? He has an obligation to push for impeachment of judges that are out of line. They must have respect for the legislative branch as well. And when one respect is violated, then other branches of government must step in. Go read your supreme law on the checks and balances if you don't think I'm right. By the way, Julian Assange has been secretly indicted in federal court in Virginia, prosecutors accidentally reveal. Okay, the United States literally is preparing to indict Julian Assange. He's facing a criminal case set up by the Trump, you heard me, the Trump administration. Now, Donald Trump claims he doesn't know anything about Julian Assange. That's in the Washington Examiner. But you know what's sad about this? Donald Trump literally praised WikiLeaks. We played sound bites of this well over 140 times on the campaign trail. Just said, I love WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks, awesome. Now that his administration is literally filing a secret indictment against Julian Assange, Donald pretends he knows nothing about it. What gives with that, folks? Are you comfortable with that? I'm not. Something's wrong. We'll talk about prison and some of these issues next hour with our surprise interview and surprise guest. Last story we talked about on Saturday, English rock star Billy Idol celebrates becoming a U.S. citizen. Billy Idol celebrates becoming a U.S. citizen. Now, I don't think Billy Idol hopped the fence to get into America. I think he waited in line and waited his turn, and he's legally here, and that's good news, right? All right, that's a recap of Saturday's broadcast, available on demand at LibertyRoundtable.com. Without further ado, Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live. Hope you had a delightful, elongated Thanksgiving weekend, sir.
Well, thank you for having me, gentlemen. Yes, we had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday. We also observed in memoriam, I suppose, the Holodomor, Holocaust, there in Ukraine, the country of Ukraine. And other than that, we thank our Heavenly Father for the many, many blessings that have been raining down upon us.
Amen, sir. Speaking of that, though, a lot of news comes out on a weekend. You blink and you miss a lot of it. That's by design, and that's why we are live so many days a week, 6 days a week, and that's why we're even live on some of these holidays, because I'm telling you right now, you blink it and you miss critical news indeed. Our guest, Lowell Nelson, he's with CampaignForLiberty.org and RonPaulInstitute.org. And Saudi airstrikes hit supply lines around, how do you say it,
Hodeida.
All right. Anyway, the bottom line, though, is we say these are Saudi airstrikes, but they're really Saudi American airstrikes, aren't they, sir?
Well, they are, Sam, because we sold them the warplanes. We continue to sell them warplanes and parts, as well as the munitions, meaning the bombs that go with it. Up until two Saturdays ago, we were refueling their warplanes in the air. We were also providing targeting information in the country of Yemen for the Saudi coalition. So yes, U.S. involvement is very high with the Saudi coalition against the poorest country in the Middle East, meaning Yemen. And the fighting continues to rage there. There's strikes, I think since 2 weeks ago, 200 airstrikes. You know, since the U.S. supposedly quit refueling the warplanes in the air, there have been 200 strikes, and almost all of them, Sam, have been on civilian targets, meaning infrastructure and so forth, around the port city of Hodeida, which is really the only inlet or, I guess, channel by which food and medicine and supplies can reach the 17 million people of Yemen that are facing starvation there. I mean, they would be facing starvation there even without the war being waged against them, Sam. And children are dying every day. The only reason, there's lots of reasons, but one of the main reasons that I hit on this topic so often, Sam, is to help the American people come to realize that we are committing a genocide. We're helping Saudi Arabia commit a genocide on the people of Yemen right now, here and today. And we need more people calling their congressmen to insist and demand that the U.S. stop its involvement with the Saudi Arabia fight against Yemen. It's sad. The pictures are horrendous. I listened to a clip from Rand Paul just last week where he described the starvation facing the people of Yemen. And the masses, the children with the descent.
Yeah, he wisely talks about how can we even live with ourselves with this going on, backed by us, our funding, our training, our arms. I mean, it's just horrendous. And the American people, because of the silence of the mainstream press, don't even really realize what a Holocaust it is, what an aggressive war propaganda agenda that it really is. The Americans don't really even understand. They live here in their peace with their football games and their pornography and their whatever we're doing, and we're titillated and distracted while these things go on, and we don't even really know about it. And that's the reason we highlight it, folks. You've got to be aware of what we're doing with our tax dollars.
Absolutely right, Sam. This to be specific about this weekend, folks, in the past 12 hours, this news report came out about 16 hours ago, 35 airstrikes in the last 12-hour period, Sam.
Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. 35 airstrikes backed by us, and we claim we're not in a war. Wait a minute. We're in over 130 nations around the world militarily. We have over 800 foreign bases. I got a question. Why? We're supposed to be the nation of peace and prosperity and diplomacy, right? Lowell Nelson with us, campaignforliberty.org.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, tilt things in their direction.
There's no vote.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. Then you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, with us, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about Yemen and how Saudi airstrikes are literally, I mean, they've had what? How many airstrikes in the last 12 hours, Lowell?
35, Sam.
35 airstrikes. Wow. And they're hitting supply lines. And I'm just telling you right now, we act like they're Saudi airstrikes, but I say the United States backed Saudi airstrikes. Let's be very, very clear. Now, the murder. Was it Jamal Khashoggi? Is that how you say it?
Khashoggi, yeah.
Khashoggi, all right. I have a hard time with a lot of these pronunciations. Sorry, folks. Donald Trump doubling down, saying, look, we know he was murdered. We know the CIA says that. I don't need to hear the tapes. I'm not interested. We're going to go ahead for financial reasons and jobs and the lowering of gas prices and call that a win for the American people and everything else. We're just going to ignore this. We're going to stay tight with Saudi Arabia. Rand Paul speaking out boldly and saying, wait a minute, 15 out of the 19 9/11 attackers were from Saudi Arabia. And you know what? There's been multiple situations where Saudi Arabia has proven not to be our friend. We need to hold them accountable. We need to do something. And Donald doubling down and saying, hey, Saudi Arabia is our buddy. We're going to let them off the hook. We're not going to worry about it. Now even Mike Lee stands up and disagrees with the Donald. Lol.
I was really glad to hear this, Sam, and see it. He was on Meet the Press yesterday at the Sunday morning talk show. I guess basically the national press is spinning the various news stories that they like to spin over the weekend. And it's kind of unusual for senators to stand up and really speak their, you know, speak truth. But I think Mike Lee certainly did so yesterday. He stood up and he said he believes that the Saudi leader, meaning the Crown Prince Al-Salman, ordered the killing of Khashoggi. And then he called for an end to U.S. aid to Saudi Arabia, and just as what we've been saying here on this show, Sam, for weeks and weeks.
Yes, now let's be very clear. Donald called for the same thing when he was on the campaign trail. Now that he's president, he's changed his tune because he's surrounded by war hawkish thugs, and they literally bend his ear in favor of pro-war against his better judgment.
And that's why it's important to surround yourself with people who will tell you the truth. And I fear, Sam, that he's surrounded himself with people who just give him spin. I think his basic instincts tend to be right, but when he's got so many people around him telling him this spin that's going on, then I think he makes erroneous decisions. I think he makes mistakes in his judgment. And in this case here, you know, he's got a lot of people depending on military contracts with Saudi Arabia. He's got defense industry, you know, capitalist, fascist, this connection between government and...
Yeah, we need to call them naked capitalists, though, because true capitalists wouldn't do these kind of things. They would care more about the morality of things rather than the finance of things. But nevertheless, these are naked capitalists, which means finance trumps all, right?
Yes, yes. And so I guess the fascist would be the more correct word, where you got the marriage between governments and corporations, because the corporations, they benefit every time they sell weapons and warplanes and so forth to Saudi Arabia. And then you've got the political side, which says, well, we can't come down too hard on Saudi Arabia, else we'll lose these contracts and thus, you know, cripple our military industrial complex, our partners, you know, so-called partners in this effort. So,
all right, I want to give Kurt a chance to weigh in on this a little bit, because Kurt, I know we had this discussion, and I was kind of backing the Rand Paul side, very critical of Saudi Arabia. Donald Trump was dismissing this, and Kurt was saying, hey, a lot of what Donald believes and has to say is fair and honest and open and true, too. Kurt, you and I had this discussion. You want to weigh in here?
Well, you know, at least to me, the bottom line is, you know, I'm certainly not a pro-war kind of guy. But it's amazing to me, the situation with the Khashoggi guy. I certainly decry the loss of life there, but I believe that Rand Paul could take that and say, look, you guys all seem to be all concerned about this, and I'm concerned as well, but what about the daily loss of life here in America? Whether it's in the gun-free zones that we have, like the whole city of Chicago or, you know, L.A. or whatever, and then what about all the little babies, girls, boys that are killed on the continual basis, like 300 plus thousand a year. What about them? We seem to be so concerned about life and yet act like those have nothing to do with the picture.
Well, and then what about all the black ops war efforts around the world that we're involved in with the CIA? Look, we're in 130 nations militarily speaking right now, ladies and gentlemen, and we have well over 800 bases around the world, And when you look at that, I mean, Kurt's got a valuable point that I'm not against, you know, the sad part that Khashoggi's dead. I agree. It's a tragedy. Saudi Arabia's wrong. We shouldn't. But all these, whatever you want to say, involvements or intercessions or breaching the sovereignty of other nations or whatever you want to say, all these should be discussed. And what about our lack of pro-life views right here at home? I think Kurt and I think that Donald in some ways have some valid points on this. Lowell is why I bring it up. What do you say?
Well, yeah, I don't deny those points at all. I think it's hypocritical of us to, on one hand, not value the lives of the innocents among us, the children, the babies in the womb that are killed every day, and then beat our chest and say we value life. I think that's very hypocritical. We have to look at what we do, not what we say, and what we're doing. U.S. administration and the various states around the country, we allow abortion. We even fund abortion. Our tax dollars go to fund the abortions. Our tax dollars go to support the U.S. involvement in the war in Yemen and these other 130 countries around the world. Everywhere we get involved internationally, where we intervene in the sovereign affairs of other nations, we later reap the whirlwind. It's blowback, as Ron Paul put it. And, it's hard to say that one's more important than the other. I think they're both very important. But even former Congressman Ron Paul, who is a doctor, a gynecologist, and who values life and values the newborn, even he doesn't make abortion his top issue. He spends 4 out of 5 days on his radio, his TV program, Sam, fighting the empire, because this is this huge U.S. empire, this hegemonious empire, is taking away our liberties and our security and our safety every day, as well as killing innocents around the world every day.
And I think that's a valid point, and I agree that I'm not here to debate which issue is more important necessarily. I want to look at an issue and clearly give direction of whether it's good or bad or right or wrong, or supportable via the Constitution and God's laws or not. I want to look at it that way, and I find myself guilty of this too. So we all need to remind one another. This isn't Sam's right and everybody else is wrong. This is, we got to remind each other. It's not a matter of picking sides. I'm not trying to pick Ron Paul's side, but I want to acknowledge when he's right. I'm not trying to pick Rand Paul or Mike Lee's side, but I want to acknowledge when they're right. Same thing with Donald Trump. I want to acknowledge when he's right. When Donald Trump changes the Mexico policy to get rid of the pro-death agenda, Donald's right. When Donald wants to go ahead and ignore this murder, I think Trump's wrong, and Mike Lee and Rand Paul are right. When it comes to Saudi airstrikes, I think that's wrong. When it comes to 15 out of 19 Saudi, whatever you want to call it, terrorists literally attack our country, I think that's wrong. I want to be very careful to always point out the right and wrong of a situation and not pick sides. Now, it just so happens that Rand Paul and Ron Paul and these guys are more right than they are wrong by a long shot. I do agree with Kurt that, you know what, it's hard to know which is more important, but it is hypocritical, as you both point out, that we highlight one as if it's such a big deal. You got one death, this guy, Khashoggi, and it's horrible, don't get me wrong, and Saudi Arabia, that's wrong, but you're going to compare that while how many people get shot in Chicago, how many babies are murdered while that same discussion's going on right here at home, and how many other involvements around the world via black ops, CIA operations are we involved in, being at 800 bases around the world and 130 nations involved in militarily, whether they want us there or not. And, you know, hey, how do we deal with this massive discussion? Speaking of that, skipping Yemen for a second, I guess Russia now seizes Ukraine naval ships. So we got a lot of hot spots around the world, folks. And whether we deal with foreign discussions and foreign aid and the arming and funding and training of terrorists around the world under the guise of backing the good guy lies, or whether it's here at home, we got a row to hoe. But let's talk about Russia seizing Ukraine naval ships and the repercussions of that with Lowell Nelson in seconds.
Proclaim. proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused border agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
My brother and two other boys were the ones that got in the car with her, and she was drunk. The road that goes to her house is like really windy, and she was taking that road at 80 to 100 miles per hour and hit into the road barriers. Her door flung open. She ran out across the street to get away from it, and the other three boys were trapped in it, and the car exploded. And then when my mom found out about it, she called me at work. Don't care what you have to do, just get up here to the hospital. I parked my car and I went inside, and they took us back to this little room. My mom told me that Jay had been killed, and I lost it. The other people, because they're like, well, you can drink, but just be careful when you drink, you know? So I don't want anything to do with it, because it took my brother away from me.
A public service message from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, with us. I want to be very careful, too, not just to blame President Trump. On one hand, Trump certainly needs to back off on the military spending. Back off on the military-industrial complex we built around the world with 800-plus bases around the world. And we're in over 130 nations, militarily speaking. It's bankrupting the purse, for sure. But you know what? We got to really realize Congress, we need to remind them, they're the ones that have that responsibility. The House of Representatives has multiple obligations they're shirking, or multiple duties they're shirking. Number one, they control the purse strings. At least they're supposed to. Number two, they're the ones that are supposed to declare war or not. And, you know, they are basically acting like they have nothing to do with it, and it's the president's decision, and he can spend ourselves into oblivion. But that's the lie. They're obfuscating their responsibility, to say the least. And I think that's critical as we talk about these issues, that we realize that, hey, you know what? We got to have the House and the Senate stand up against the president and say, listen, we're not spending that money, sir. We're just not doing it. We haven't declared war here. We guard our power and our authority jealously here. And the checks and balances are the key. Meanwhile, though, Russia seizes Ukraine naval ships. What do you say to this, Lowell?
Before jumping into that, I just want to underscore what you said about Congress's role in our foreign policy. The Senate particularly has a stronger role in forming that foreign policy. And I was delighted to hear this on the Meet the Press interview yesterday. I listened to the whole thing. And Senator Mike Lee did point out in very plain terms, he said that Congress has the constitutional responsibility to declare war if the nation goes to war, and that hasn't been done in the country of Yemen. And he says, this is an exact quote, Sam. He said, this unauthorized, unconstitutional war, from our standpoint, is not something we ought to be fighting, he said. This is not an ally that deserves this kind of military intervention, especially because there's been no connection between the safety of the American people and our involvement in this war, end of quote. And I just appreciate his coming out right there on national television, Meet the Press program yesterday, and being very clear that Congress has abdicated its responsibility over the past several decades, and we has to stand up and take responsibility for our U.S. foreign policy.
His bold candor is refreshing, to say the least. I concur.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for the segue over to Ukraine. The reason I'm this article caught my eye, Sam, is because I've been following, the Holodomor in Ukraine. And so it's been on my mind. I've been looking at the geography of the nations over there, and then this just popped up this weekend. On antiwar.com, this fight. There's really kind of a low heat, raging, ongoing conflict between Ukraine and Russia, and it's been going on since 2014 when.
Yeah, it's kind of like Taiwan and China and us and Cuba. You know, they seem to love that kind of off-step, close proximity battles where a nation's threatening to kind of control the other. You got kind of the opposition in the backyard, if you will. They love that kind of stuff, don't they?
Well, I guess so. In 2014, the country of Russia basically annexed Crimea, the Republic of Crimea. Now, Crimea is basically the whole peninsula, which is directly south of Ukraine there in the Black Sea. It's supposed to be part of Ukraine, but Russia, they annexed it in 2014. Now, what does that mean? Well, I'm not sure what that means. It means that basically they took control of it. Well, they still try to operate as an independent republic, the Republic of Crimea. It's officially still part of Ukraine, but Russia claims it, and in fact, the majority of the population there is ethnic Russians, apparently, and so you've got people there tend to be for Russia, and they want to be part of Russia. They did a referendum there, and everybody voted, and the majority of the people there wanted to be part of Russia, and so. But you got Ukraine, on one side and Russia on the other. And then I've also learned, Sam, that there's about 10,000 what they call separatists living in the eastern part of Ukraine. And these are Russians who want to split off from Ukraine and become part of Russia. Sort of like the northern part of Idaho sometimes has been talking about, being part of Washington and Oregon or something like that. Or maybe the northern part of California wants to break off. And so this eastern portion of Ukraine wants to split off, and there's about 10,000 deaths, I guess, over the past 4 or 5 years there because of this low-grade civil war going on over there. So it's kind of, so I'm just trying to paint the picture here in this ongoing conflict disagreement, I guess, between Ukraine and Russia. So this weekend, yesterday and the day before yesterday, Sam, there were three Ukrainian naval vessels off of the Crimean Peninsula. Basically, they were in the Black Sea and trying to get into the Sea of Azov, I guess. It's east of Crimea, and it's above a strait called the Kerch Strait. And so these three ships were trying to get through the strait into the Sea of Azov. And the Russians, however, blocked them, and they put a big tanker underneath the bridge. See, the Russians built a bridge from their country into Crimea that expand this strait of Kerch, the Kerch Strait. And so the Russians, they put a tanker underneath a bridge, which doesn't allow any other ships to pass. And Ukraine is crying foul because they aren't able to get their ships through the strait. And now there's cargo ships that are piling up on both sides of the strait because they can't get through. And it's costing these companies, the shipping companies, you know, tens of thousands of dollars every single day that their ship cannot get through the strait.
Yeah, part of the problem is their naval ships, and here's where war meets peace and trade gets, you know, whatever. And but hey, I don't even know the intentions of who's who. You know, I know people want to pick sides and people want to, but I think the founding fathers wisely warned us we got to stay out of these foreign entanglements, because the problem is you don't know who's who. You don't know what intentions are driving what agendas, and you might back something you think is clean and makes total sense today, and then tomorrow you find out you've been suckered. And so we need to be very, very careful with this, Lowell.
Well, you're exactly right, Sam. And by talking about this, we in no way are implying that the U.S. ought to be involved in this strife, this conflict between Russia and Ukraine. But I thought it was an interesting story. I did want to bring it up and just talk about it and thereby underscore the importance of our not getting involved, because, you know, we were involved in the coup in Ukraine, in helping to install the, you know, a new government over there. And this was several years ago, but, you know, we shouldn't be doing that. We should let these countries, you know, solve their own problems. We should set an example of peace and trade and then, you know, let the chips fall where they may, because we're good cross borders, Sam, armies do not. And so that's why we encourage trade with all countries and you know, entangling alliances with none, in the words of George Washington. And it's just sad when these countries appear to be fighting each other. To me, it seems like Russia is creeping, basically putting a squeeze on Ukraine.
It seems like they are, but again, we don't know the truth of the matter. And what we need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, is if we didn't have dishonest money, if we had honest constitutional currency, gold and silver, we would not have the funds to ride every crisis around the world. Would simply say, you know what, our prayers are with you. You know, what I mean is we wouldn't be involved in all this. But when we have too much dishonest money at the helm, then we think we can fund every crisis and fund both sides and pick enemies and friends. And before you know it, we're in an absolute disaster. If you don't believe me on that, Ron Paul writes an incredible column talking about, hey, I guess the Pentagon failed its first, and what, so far only audit, and now neocons on both sides of the aisle demanding even more spending, even though they failed their audit? This is where we need to audit not only the Pentagon, but the Federal Reserve, too. Go ahead, Lowell.
Oh, that's right. He writes this. He says, after spending nearly $1 billion to find out what has happened to trillions in unaccounted-for spending.
Now, let me stop you there. Did you just hear that? We spent $1 billion looking into how we spent or misspent trillions of dollars. And people are like, hey, man, we can't back Rand Paul's penny plan, which cuts the budget by one penny. Can't do that. We're just too, you know, tight in government or whatever. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, folks. But the neocons have been put on full display, Lowell.
That's absolutely right, Sam. If it were not so true, it would be funny. I mean, it's just comical. But, yeah, spending $1 billion to investigate the loss of trillions is really ironic.
Lowell Nelson will break down Ron Paul's incredible column, ronpaulinstitute.org, in seconds. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only 7 countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the 9th month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Live on your radio, Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org, with us as always on Mondays, ladies and gentlemen, doing a phenomenal job. So Ron Paul lets us know that the Pentagon got audited for the first time, and they failed the first audit. They spent $1 billion looking into misspent trillions, and they failed the audit. Not only did Ron Paul mention it, that they failed, but the Pentagon knew they'd fail. And they don't even care. And where's the mainstream press? This is where the mainstream press is completely, in my opinion, negligent, derelict in their duties is what I would say. Because why aren't they telling people that, hey, the Pentagon was audited. They spent $1 billion looking for trillions. I'm telling you, the people would become unglued if they knew this in mass, But the bottom line is when they don't report it and no one knows about it, it's up to Ron Paul. And sometimes Rand Paul to educate people on it. And then people just go, oh, those guys are kooks. They don't really know. But the truth is we need to really break down the truth. We spent billions looking into trillions. The Pentagon says we knew would fail. What? Are you kidding me? And why aren't people going to jail, sir?
Well, if any company were to not pass an audit like this, when, you know, 90% of their funds were misspent or unaccounted for, I mean, there would be people going to jail, Sam. There would be, you know, the IRS would be up in arms and beating them over the head over this type of thing, but not the Pentagon. You've got this Deputy Secretary of Defense, Patrick Shanahan, saying, yep, we never expected to pass the audit. And so Ron Paul, in commenting about this, he said, as with all government programs, but especially when it comes to military spending, the failure of a program never leads to calls for funding reductions. He says the Pentagon's failure to properly account for the trillions of taxpayer dollars shoveled in year after year only means, they say, that we need to send more money. Already they're claiming that with more resources, meaning money, they can fix some of the problems identified by...
But what we really need is an audit of the Federal Reserve, and what we really need to do is shut down their dishonest money. It creates dishonesty everywhere, and the only answer is to go back to honest money where they're chained down with the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. Those are the only plans that will truly have or bear, in my opinion, the good fruit, if you will.
I totally agree, Sam. If the federal government could spend only the gold and silver that came into the Treasury through requiring the states to put into the Treasury an amount in proportion to their population, right? I mean, that's how it was designed from the very beginning. If the federal government could only spend the gold and silver that came into their Treasury, they would be less than 1/100th of their current size, Sam. Then we wouldn't be trying to support a world empire, a world military empire. Wouldn't be trying to police the world. We wouldn't be trying to support all the welfare programs that we have today. And the size and the reach of our federal government would actually be so small that you probably wouldn't even notice that they existed, Sam, if we could return to honest, sound money.
I think that's a critical understanding point. And there's a headline going around the internet. I saw it on Twitter, and a bunch of people get credit, but I saw so many people pass it around, I'm not sure who to give credit to. I did not come up with it, but I think it's a brilliant statement. Here's the statement. If capitalism is so evil, and socialism is so incredible, and socialism is the answer, then why isn't the caravan headed to Venezuela, sir?
Well, that's a great question. I love that. And by the way, you can look at Venezuela if you want another example of socialism and the fruits of socialism. Venezuela, where all the rich people have left, and people with any money, any means, any resources, they've pretty much fled the country. And what you're left with there is, unfortunately, all the rest of the people who don't have the means to survive. They're starving. They don't have much food. They don't have much resources. One of the most richest countries in the Western Hemisphere, Sam, 20, 30 years ago, is now one of the very poorest. And you can chalk that all up to their reliance on socialism and their, you know, central control of the state.
Basically. And their dependence on dishonest money. You put the two together and it's disaster every time.
Absolutely right, Sam. So what's Congress going to do about the Pentagon? Well, they're going to throw more money at the problem, Sam. The outgoing chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, Representative Max Thornberry, said the failed audit should not be used as an excuse for arbitrary cuts that reverse the progress we have been that we have begun on rebuilding our strength and readiness. So, in other words, what he's saying is we can't, you know, just because they failed the audit, that doesn't give us an excuse to cut funding to the Pentagon.
Now, here's what I find fascinating. They use this term arbitrary, interestingly. Any cut would be arbitrary, not full of fact or knowledge or intention of honesty and following the admonition of the founding fathers and returning to the checks and balances of the supreme law of the land, where Congress, the House, is responsible for the purse strings. Senate gauges reality of what wars we ought to be in, and together they decide whether we should be in a war or not, what we should fund and how and where and when. And the president should carry out the wishes of the legislative branch under the direction of we, the people, a republic, if you can keep it, the founders said. Anyway, any cuts wouldn't be to promote that proper role of limited constitutional government that would avoid the blowback that the CIA documented and avoid the foreign entanglements and the continued war mentality. Every cut they suggest by their lies would be arbitrary in nature. And that's how they manipulate, and the press falls for it line and sinker, whatever you want to say. They just go for it as if any cut would be arbitrary. In fact, for you to even discuss this just shows how ignorant and arbitrary it would really be. See, and that's how they go, lol, even though the truth and the evidence is on our side.
I like your ability, Sam, to point out these important words. Not everybody is that astute. I mean, I read that sentence, and I didn't realize that, but you're exactly right. I mean, he calls it an arbitrary cut. And that's, you know, any cut for him, he would call any cut arbitrary.
And they use that word because that wordsmithing turns it into a non-starter. Now, we're discussing arbitrary cuts, right? Ones that don't really matter, ones that are just kind of ignorant in nature. You don't really understand the problem or the issue. You're not qualified. All of it's designed to sideline the debate and suggest that any discussions of it, well and good, you can discuss whatever you want. You have your free speech, but you know that it's capricious, that it's just not legitimate, right? I mean, this discussion is fun, but it's not reality or legitimate or have any validity to speak of that's worth any real consideration. It's that kind of a manipulation and game playing that they engage in all the time. I would simply say unconstitutional spending needs to always be reined in. And if we discuss it in that context, it totally changes the reality and the legitimacy of the discussion. One word, arbitrary on their side versus constitutional spending, needs to always be reined in, curtailed. Unconstitutional spending is always wrong. And so it one word changes that whole discussion reality. And they play games with the whole paradigm we're working within. And we fall for it almost every time.
Very great observation. You know, I'm aware that when they talk about cuts, for the most part, they're talking about cuts in projected increases. And so there really never is any substantive cut to the amount of money. We just continue to spend more and more every year. And that's why I like the penny plan that Rand Paul and others have been pushing. I would love for all of the congressmen to embrace this idea of cutting a penny from every dollar. And this would be a real a real cut, actually.
Amen, but when Rand talked about it, nobody was sitting in the Senate. They just ignored him, and then they threw him away kind of like a bad penny. And sad to say, but true. But Rand's spot on right. In the minutes we have remaining, it costs us $31,000 a year for every prisoner in the United States on an annual basis on an average, and we have more prisoners in this country than anybody in the world. We're the greatest prison nation. We've got 5% of the world's population and 25%+ of the world's prisoners. Lol, and they hope to solve it with, quote, criminal justice reform. They're talking about it in the Senate. Donald's for it. The House already passed it. They've got a lame duck session going on. They're back today. What do you say, sir?
Mike Lee, senator from Utah, is optimistic that this can be brought up in the Senate and actually passed, Sam. It's all basically it's in the hands of Mitch McConnell, the majority leader there from Kentucky. If he wants to have a vote on it, the Senate will have a vote on it. But basically, it's in his hands. If we don't get a vote on it, it's on him and maybe the rest of the senators to force him to get it out on the floor. But I find that this criminal justice reform would be such a wonderful thing, Sam. And there's a couple reasons why. Number one, where is it right here? Basically, Mike Lee says common sense sentencing reform can increase trust in the criminal justice system, thus making it easier for law enforcement personnel to police communities. Right now, he says, federal mandatory minimum sentences for many drug offenses can lead to outcomes that strike many people as unfair and thus undermine the public's faith in our justice system. For example, Weldon Angelos, a young father of two with no criminal record, was convicted of selling 3 dime bags of marijuana to a paid informant over a short period of time. These were not violent crimes, no one was hurt, but because Angelos had been in possession of a gun at the time he sold the drugs, a gun which was neither brandished nor discharged in connection with the offense, the judge was forced by federal law to give him a 55-year prison sentence. The average federal sentence for assault is 2 years. The average murderer only gets 15 years. And yet this guy gets 55-year prison sentence. And so, number one, it's unfair, and it undermines trust in the entire system. The second reason Senator Lee gives is because this breaks up families. Excessive prison sentences break apart families and weaken communities, the building blocks of American civil society. Incarceration is tough on marriage, he says. Few can survive the loss of marital love and financial strain that happens when a spouse is behind bars, and the longer the sentence, the more likely a marriage will end in divorce. A 2011 study, he says, found that each additional year behind bars increases the likelihood of divorce by 32%, Sam. This has real costs for the families and especially for the children of these offenders. And so there you have it, Sam. The two biggest reasons in Mike Lee's mind as to why we need to reform our criminal justice system and reduce these mandatory minimum sentences, which puts somebody who sells a little marijuana in prison for 55 years when the average murderer, Sam, gets only 15 years in prison.
And sadly, I think that we need 1,000-fold more on this discussion. We need a presidential commission to truly look into these cases, because oftentimes we don't find that the sentence matches the crime at all. Either it's way under or way over. It depends on who you are. So if you're a government official, you don't go to jail at all, or you go to jail for a minimal time. On the other hand, if you're a constitutionalist, then they throw the book at you and you're in jail for more than a lifetime. And that's kind of the problem. However, this prison reform, I don't think it's near enough. But it is a start, and Mike Lee's right, and we got to start somewhere. Rand Paul and Mike Lee are both for it, by the way. They were in the presidential office with the president while he was speaking out in favor of it. They've already passed it in the House. They're saying, Senate, double down and get it done now. And I pray they do, even though it's not enough. It's a start, and we'll take whatever we can get and move to the next effort to make more out of this than we currently have. We got a long road ahead, but we got to start somewhere. Thanks, Lowell.
You're welcome, Sam.
Hour one in the can. Hour two coming up. An incredible interview live from prison. Next hour. An incredible guest as well. We'll tell you all about it in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.